But we only know him one way. This way, right here. And this initiates a relationship, and then by his Spirit, through his Word, he communicates with us. That's a lifestyle. Let's go into John. Yes. Thank you. Man, that's great. I'm starting to really like you a lot. Okay. Well, get to know me a little better. Let's look into John chapter 15. And everybody knows where I'm going here. And I want to read it. I'm going to read it quickly because what I want the Word of God to do is to be absorbed right now. I want you to just suck this up. Soak it in. In verse 1 in chapter 15 of John, it says, I am the vine, the true vine. My Father is a husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If any man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might be in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. What do you think about that? Was that emphatic? Was that an absolute? Do you live in a gray world? Do you see your world getting more gray all the time? Does God want you to live in a black and white world? Does He want you to live in a world that you know the difference between evil and good and righteousness? Do you get confused about good, human good, and evil? Do you know the difference between what's from God and what's from man? Man trying to do for God, philanthropy? There's a big push right now, humanitarianism. I go down the road and I see a billboard and it says, donate your boat. You know what? Every time I see that on the billboard, you know what I think? I think an unbeliever might look at that and say, man, if I donate my boat, I might get to go to heaven. He's not going to get to heaven donating a boat, is he? Or how about everything that he has? Can he buy his way into God's favor? What does it take to go to heaven? What does it take to go to heaven? What if I believe in Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ alone? If I just trust in Jesus Christ to do for me what I cannot do for myself, I trust in Him, and I never read the Bible, can I go to heaven? Wow, good answer. You see, what does it take to go to heaven? Do you see how simple it is to go to heaven? Believe in Jesus Christ. That God became man and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh. We're talking about the Word here, which is the sword of the Spirit. Became flesh. The mind of Christ became here as a man and walked among us. And He didn't elevate Himself as God while He was here. He just stayed as a man and used God's Spirit and God's truth to live on this planet. One of the false things that comes into your mind as a Christian that grays everything up is that Jesus Christ did that because He was God. That's your excuse. I can't do that. He did it because He was God. No, Jesus Christ, the Bible teaches very firmly, without getting too deep in theology, that Jesus Christ did not use His divine powers to show you how to be a Christian. You have the resources. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you have capacity to walk like Jesus Christ walked. Did I just shoot one over the top right there? Did I just say something that just about can't be true? It just about can't be true, can it? It's true. It's really true. If you get that in your mind, your life changes. The more you think those thoughts, your life changes. That greater is He that's in me than He that's in the world. There's a tremendous amount of opposition against you. There is more opposition against you than has ever been against me. And do you want me to tell you where most of your opposition is going to come? And I'm telling you, guard yourself, because most of your opposition is going to come from the person sitting next to you in your social life. Do you believe that? I'm telling you, if you are not willing, if you don't just say, God help me to stand by myself, I am not saying that you can't have friends. I'm saying there's going to come a point in your life, and it may be down there and come when you least expect it, I've got to stand firm in Jesus Christ all by myself. When Jesus Christ went to the cross for you, who was His buddies up there? Was He His buddy to start with? There was only three of them up there, and He won two of them to the truth. Then there was two of them, He won one of them to the truth. He won half of them to the truth. How powerful is that? The person sitting next to you, maybe you can win one of them to the truth. That's what He did. Can you do that? Or maybe the person sitting next to you will talk in your ear and say things. Maybe it's a little female to a male. And he'll say things, or she'll say things that'll kind of lead him away from Jesus Christ. Or maybe just the opposite. You see, I know about all this stuff. This conversation could get really, really vulgar. You understand? Because I can be vulgar. I understand that stuff really, really good. Because when I was your age, I went as far into it as I could. I know about stuff. I know about what's in your head. I know about what you're probably thinking, memory right now, using your memory. And Satan's coming right now because of your memory, and he's gouging you because of your failure. And Paul teaches me that I've got to learn to put the past behind me and seek for that prize. Let that past go. I don't care if it happened 2 minutes ago. I don't care if you just had that thought. If you had a problem, whatever it was, and you confess that to your Savior, it's gone. He forgot about it. Satan brings it back up to you to destroy you. Right when you're really starting to make a decision for Jesus Christ, Satan brings your history up and just right at the right second puts it right there. Now, let me tell you who else does it? Your old sin nature. Do you know how important it is for you to be filled with the Spirit and abide in Christ? What we just now talked about? Does anybody here have any kind of aspirations for life, like dreams? You guys don't have dreams, you do? Okay, there's a couple of you have dreams. A couple of you have some future thoughts about maybe what I'd like to be. This is something I'm going to tell you. Listen close. If you trust in Jesus Christ, if you will do what I'm telling you to do, and that is forget everything and everybody and follow your Savior and don't look around, He's going to fulfill the desires of your heart. At this age, let me tell you where He fulfilled the desires of my heart. There's a woman sitting in the back of the room. And I prayed for her. Through all the other girls, I kept praying, God help me. God help me. God help me before I destroy myself. Help me, Lord. Help me. That was my prayer night and day. Help me. Help me to see the woman that you have for me. And you know what he did? He moved her in across the street from me. And when I seen her, it was like, wow. And I just preserved her. I just kept her in a special place in my mind and in my heart, and I kept praying, God, is that her? Because she looked so good. I mean, I couldn't hardly stand not to look at her. That's bad. That's bad. Especially when it comes to me. And I just kept her in a safe place. And one day my buddy came over to my house, and long story short, he saw her. And he went straight to her. And I ran after him. He ran. I ran after him. And I said, Sorgan, stop, stop. No, it's not that way. No, we're not going to do this, Sorgan. Yeah, right, we're not going to do this, Sorgan, like Sorgan and I do. Like you guys do, maybe? Are you too young for that? If you ain't, it'll come along. We're not going to do that. And Sorgan said, maybe you're not. I said, you're going to die. I'm going to get you. You touch her. Well, she didn't like him. So, and she liked me. So 36 years later, she's in the back of the room. And I have the privilege to come here and share that with you. Because I was trying to do the right thing, even though I didn't have the strength to do it. I have so much information for you right now. I wish that I had a month with you. That I could just sit and just sharpen iron with you. Just sit here and hack stuff out. I'd love for you to come and just hit me with your best shot. You know, I was praying a little bit ago about being alone. I was talking about that at the flagpole too. Do you guys realize right now, if every one of you jumped up and said, we hate what you're saying, we don't like you, would you get out of here? If you don't, I'm going to kill you, and y'all jumped on me? I'd just cover up. I'd go into a little defensive position. And when you got done, I'd stand up. And then I'd go to work. Because I fight what I believe. I fight for what I believe in. I know Gene mentioned that I have two children. I have a daughter. I have the most beautiful little girl you guys ever saw. She's precious. And I have a son. I raised two kids, my wife and I did. And they're precious to me. That's my little girl right there. That's a picture in boot camp. And there's a picture of my son coming out of boot camp. Those are bad pictures. They're bad. But I got good kids. They're really strong. And they believe in what they believe in. And they'll fight for this country. And right now, if you're worried about who's going to stand up, if I stand up, is there going to be anybody around? Sometimes when you stand up and you look around, there's nobody there standing. But I guarantee you, I know two of them is going to be. And I know another one right back there. They'll be there. Don't you worry about that. You just look ahead to your Savior. You just get your mind made up, set your faces a flint against the world, and make your mind up you're going to follow Jesus Christ. Now, we got to get into the Bible here. There's some things that, let's see, where'd Jason go? All right, no, we don't need him. Let me just say this. Did you see the picture that was up there a minute ago? It was Mount Rushmore. Anybody ever been there? A couple people. It is amazing. It really is amazing. I'm going to tell you a story about that in a little bit, and I want you to hear it. Because it really matters for you to understand some things that are basic that I think that you have found to be deep, deep in your thoughts that hurt you. You see, what my job is here is to help you see my Savior, yes, but guess what? I am a fix-it kind of person. I am the kind of person who cares about you, who wants to side up with you and hear what you can tell me and then tell you what Christ tells me to say. I'm a fix-it kind of person. I got that in my soul. And you know, I got a knowledge of another person who has that in their soul. You know another person that walked this earth that had that same attitude? Who was it? Jesus Christ. Was he a fix-it kind of person? What did he do with his life? Didn't he walk around to everybody that had need? And how about the people that really didn't care? How about the people that really didn't care about Jesus Christ? They were there the whole time too. And he did speak to them. He called them children of the devil. A terrible thing. I got to get in the scripture here because I don't have much time. And I'm not going to sit here and bore you guys. But I am going to machine gun you. You know what that means? I'm going to machine gun you. You know what that is? Huh? Yeah, I'm going to use words from the Bible. I'm going to use thoughts from the Bible. This thing, this theme here in this camp is tap in. Tap into a greater love. And I've heard people say, if you don't tap into a greater love, you're going to tap out. Do you know what that means? In a grappling position? It means that you're wrestling with somebody, you're fighting with somebody, and you get in a position where you can't help yourself anymore, you become defenseless, and if they keep fighting you, they're going to break an arm or a leg or your neck's going to snap. And so you reach up and you tap out. I give. In the spiritual life, you can never tap out. You understand? My son taught me something when he was in the military. They had what they called double tap. That's when they're shooting their weapons. They had automatic weapons, and so what they would do, Ben was in the 82nd Airborne. He went door to door. He was in Bush's 15-month surge. Do you remember that? You guys, tell me, do you have any knowledge of that? It was hell on earth. It was really, really bad. They would go into people's houses. Do you want me to tell you where the most violent place you can ever go is? Into a man's house where he's trying to defend himself. That is violence. You will see from the depths of a man's soul as he tries to protect his family for what he believes in. That's where my son went in to fight. They had something called double tap. That automatic weapon, they just didn't open it up and spray and shoot their 20 rounds. They just... That's how they did it. Just a little burst. Sometimes that's how your spiritual life is going to be. You've got to learn how to double tap in your spiritual life. And I'm going to try to give you some points to help you. Because it's a deadly form of defense and offense. Do you think about yourself trying to evangelize? Are we evangelists? Who's an evangelist in here? Who's an evangelist in here? Pick it up. Let's go. Hold your hands up. Are you an evangelist? Will you please stand up? Hold your hands up. Say, I am an evangelist.
I am an evangelist.
Thank you. Sit down. You see, I love to hear you say that because now you're starting to think like I do. Because that person sitting next to you, he has hope now. Because you have Christ in you and you're going to deliver something to Him. You may not do it with so many words, but you'll do it with your lifestyle. You know, God does have a right man, right woman thing. I believe in that very much. But if you are right for each other and you start making bad mistakes, you can mess up a good thing. You believe that? If you believe that, raise your hand. Now, I'm going to ask you to guard yourself against it. Because one of the most important things is when you love somebody and you really, really love them, sometimes you go outside. You do things you shouldn't. You know what peer pressure is? Peer pressure attacks you when you least expect it. Let's look at it just for a little bit. Let's look at Psalms 56. I don't know what time it is. And you know what? I don't want to hold you guys at all here. I just want to tell you what I got to tell you, and I'm going to stop. But where's the clock at? Can somebody tell me? 9:41, and I started. Okay, see, it's half over, and I haven't even got started. So I'm not going to be able to finish. But I'm going to machine gun you here. It's called double tap. You know what I mean? What's double tap mean? That's it. Thank you. Psalm 56. Let's turn there real quick. I'm going to teach you something here. I don't have time to read it, but I want you to see it. Because when I was your age, it became a very, very important psalm in my life. It was something that I just found myself not able to do without. And when I would have some of the biggest problems I ever had, I would go there. And I would read this right here. In verse 1 it says, "Be merciful unto me, O God. For man would swallow me up, he fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me. O thou most high, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word, in God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." You read the rest. Look at that next verse right there. It says, "Every day they twist my words, all their thoughts are against me for evil." How many Christians do you know that you can really trust? I'm going to give you a little saying right here. Do you want to marry the man, woman of your dreams? Do you? Do you think about marriage? Does it seem like the greatest thing coming? First of all, the greatest relationship is with your Savior Jesus Christ. And then you hope to have a marriage that's like it. If you study the Word of God, it can happen. Do you want to marry the woman or man of your dreams? Let me tell you how to do it. Follow the Word of God. but be the man or woman of their dreams. You understand what I mean? I mean, they are looking for the same thing you're looking for, and if you will be what they're looking for, not trying to have a personality that's attractive, but have a soul. If you'll be what you're supposed to be, Christ has made that soulmate for you, and they will find you. And when you find them or they find you, you won't destroy them and they won't destroy you if you have integrity. Like I said, let's go on. Let's turn the page over here into 57. Into Psalms 57. I lost my place. I'm sorry about that. In verse 4. It says, my soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Let me tell you what you're facing today. You're facing an enemy who uses his tongue. You hear the adults talk about the politicians all the time? Do you? You know what the politicians use? You know what their weapon is? Right there. That's all they got. They're convincing you of something that's not true. They're trying to make you feel guilty for being an American. They try to make you feel guilty for standing up for what is right. They try to make you feel guilty for having the golden arches. That you can go down there and buy a hamburger anytime you want. That we have the freedom to become obese because we have so much. And we can have so much. You should feel guilty for that, right? No, you should not. Every bit of this land that we live in here, is an abundance of Jesus Christ given to us. We are abusing it. You have to think in terms of moderation in your life. You've got to allow yourself to think in terms of moderation. Just because you can do something doesn't mean you should. Just because you have the freedom doesn't mean you should. Will you put something up there for me, Jason? Plug that in for me. Yeah. I want to show you something here. My son was in college, and he was taking engineering, and he was studying science. And in the science class, it was astronomy. I'm not sure exactly how he got into it, but this is what he saw, and he came home and showed me, and it's very, very interesting. I want to take a minute, and I want you to watch it. In everything you see in this world, remember, this world you live in is an enemy of your faith. The world you live in is an enemy. It is an opposition to your faith in Jesus Christ. And everything you see in this world here, if it's not under Christ in Christianity, and some things under Christianity are deceptive, but there are agendas. There are agendas in this life. There are mindsets in this life and in this world. And just because there's knowledge and sensationalism doesn't mean that it's good. You understand? Let's take about 5 or 10 minutes here and watch this. Thank you very much. What do you guys think of that? Anybody ever seen it before? You want to see it again? Watch it about 10 times, man. It's super cool. When you guys go on the internet, that's called the known universe, and it's AMHA. Is that what it is? It's going to have an acronym, and I never get it right. AMNH. The known universe, and there's several of them, but that one there will get you there 6 minutes long. That was a fantastic thing, and it helps you to realize from a telescopic point of view, and this is science, by the way, from a telescopic point of view, God. Is that fantastic? We have him right here. You see, right here, though, I can take a spiritually microscopic point of view of Jesus Christ. A microscope is something that we zoom down on. We get little teeny tiny things and make them bigger, right? Now, there's science on that side, too. And if you haven't noticed, it's wonderful. As a matter of fact, some of you may be alive right this minute because of the science brought to us from a microscope. Because we can see the teeniest, tiniest things, and that's how we can understand things. to help people get better. There's a spiritual microscope. And you have to judge yourself against this. You understand? Now, I know I'm about done here. I can see that. And I promise you I haven't gotten started. Try to bear with me, please. Try to discipline yourself with an academic discipline just to get this information, okay? This is so important. What Jesus Christ wants to do in your life is beyond your dreams. Okay? And what the world around you is trying to rob you of, you're not going to know what happened until you get in eternity. And God's going to give you at the Bema seat a projection, I believe, of what you could have had, how it could have been. And I don't want any regrets. And I don't want to look around for people who, maybe if I was a little more careful, I thought should have been there. How come they're not in heaven? And then we're going to get pleasant surprises like, wow, I didn't know that guy's here. Great, that's cool. I'm going to have to jump to the chase here. I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 10. When we were looking at that fantastic video right there, there's a lot of stuff on the internet that we look at we shouldn't. Does anybody ever look at anything on the internet they shouldn't? Raise your hand. I'm raising both of mine. I'm going to even jump up and down because I look at things on the internet I shouldn't look at. Am I human? Am I breathing? Am I stinking? Am I dying? Am I rotten? I got to face that. And then I got to make a choice. Okay? And so do you. You got to judge yourself because your old sin nature is trying to deceive you, to tell you that you're a good person. But the only righteousness you have is the Word of God and Jesus Christ in you. And that's the part you've got to gravitate toward. You understand? Let's look into Matthew here. And as we're turning there, I want to ask you a question. When you were watching that video, was it a fantastic thing?
Yes.
I thought it was awesome. Is there a splinter in your mind about that video right now? Is there a splinter? Is there something just like, I loved it, but... Is there? Did anybody get it? You couldn't help but get it. Thank you for your honesty. What was it? What's the problem with the video? Yeah. Yeah. But what's the problem with the video? What was the hidden agenda that came through, which everybody's supposed to know and believe? What is it? What was it? Did you see the Big Bang in there? Did you guys get the Big Bang in there? You didn't get that? Go study. You got to study stuff, man. You guys got to open your mind up. You got to think. Because Satan's thinking. You see, that's the problem. We ain't thinking. We're sublimating. We're being sensationalized. We're being entertained. We're not thinking. And the whole time, we're not thinking. Your generation very well may watch that flag that came up this morning come down for the last time. Do you believe that's possible? If that flag out there falls, I'm probably a dead man. You can get that, right? I'm probably going to be a dead man. And I'm going to be with my Savior. But if we don't stand, that flag's coming down. If you don't get what I'm talking about here today, that flag's going to fall. It's already fallen. I'm running trying to catch it. No, don't let that thing hit the ground. Don't, no, don't do that. Is that my agenda? Is that my cause here? Am I standing here because I'm trying to save America? No. I'm trying to show you my Savior. Who's calling us? No, who's calling us on the telephone? Calculus radio? I hear them buzzers all the time in my head, you know. I was like, what? Who is that? You know? Is it a distraction? It is. Can you let it dominate you? You can. Be determined. Have we turned... Anyway, the hidden agenda. Will you put my picture up there for me? The hidden agenda behind the video was the Big Bang Theory, and it's all mixed into one big gray mess, because who understands evolution? I want to make a point to you. Does anybody here believe in evolution? Please raise your hand. You believe in evolution? Please raise your... I mean it. I love you, sweetheart. You believe in evolution? Listen, I want to show you evolution. I want you to look at this picture, and I want you to tell me, what are the chances of these sculptures being formed by chance? What are the chances? Now, as I tell you this, I ask you this question, I'm going to tell you a story. When I was in school, I was in a little tech college for a while. I had a science class, and my teacher gave me opportunity to speak on whatever I wanted to. And I listened to her for one semester, beat evolution down all the young people in there. I was 40 or somewhere in there, about 40, and they were like 18, 22. And I watched this crap get run down, this scientific information proven without just emphatic information being beat down their throat. Realizing they come through a public school system and they beat it down their throat the whole time they're in public school. And now they get to college and here's the stupid stuff again with Lucy, this little monkey that was a man that they can bend that femur bone and make it look just right. And so I studied that evolution a little bit. And on my refrigerator at home, I have a picture of myself with my kids in the foreground right down here. This is a blown-up photograph, but when you stand at Mount Rushmore, they've improved it now. It's a little different than it was in 93. But there we were with Mount Rushmore in the background, and I give my little spiel to the class why it was a bunch of hocus-pocus, mentally ill people. They're mentally, evolutionists are mentally ill, I'm sorry. They're a bunch of psychopaths. I asked the question, what are the chances of these images, these sculptures, being in the shape that they are, four times in a row, by the way, what are the chances, and the chances are zero. Any person with any rational thinking knows that. Then I asked the question, what are the chances for those human beings in that picture to just form out of some soup? How irrational is this? How ridiculous is this? This is the biggest bunch of crap that's ever been run down people's throat. But you see, you're choosing right now. Because I'm talking about the Word of God, and I'm telling you that this is the truth. This is all you need to know. This is what you can live your life by. In Matthew chapter 10, let's look in verse 34. If you've heard anything that I've said today, look closely at this scripture, because here's the challenge. Do you like challenges? I hope everybody's awake now, because I'm going to be done. I'm going to be done in a minute. You look at this picture right here, remember the illustration I just gave you. And then let's read verse 34. Think not that I came to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Now we're going to learn what that means. Verse 35 says, for I am come to set man at variance against his father, and daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Do you mean to tell you what that just told me? Did you hear the message in that? Basically what that says in this church age, the truth that's in that for this church age, is that if you follow Jesus Christ as closely as you can, there's going to be division. There's going to be division. Do you like that? Does anybody like confrontations? Do confrontations sometimes lead to division? When you stand for Jesus Christ, there will be confrontations right into your house. You got the guts for it. You see, what I found in my life is most of the time when people argue against Jesus Christ, they don't know what they're talking about. And they're trying to persuade me through peer pressure, especially if there's two of them. But see, when I was growing up, I'll give you a little bit of history about myself. I was about 7 years old one time, maybe eight. My sister was about 12. This is the way my dad settled our problems. If we had an argument and we wouldn't quit fussing, he'd go get the boxing gloves and put the boxing gloves on us, and we would go outside in the yard and beat the crap out of each other. Boy, that settled some issues, I'll tell you what. I was littler than my sister, you know, the growing spurts. In other words, my point is I learned how to solve issues with my hands. And I was born in northern Indiana. I was raised up there, and there's some issues up in that country. And that's how I settled them. And I lived that way for a long time. And we had issues in my family. My mother and father finally divorced. But guess what? Sometimes being together when you should be apart and you got children is tough on everybody. So I didn't learn how to be a good husband. I just basically learned I wasn't going to do that. Is that solving problems by the trial and error method? That I'm not going to do that. And so I try to do everything else. Until I discovered this is the only hope. This is all that there is. And when my children came along, and I looked into my daughter's eyes, for the first time I looked into her eyes, something happened to me. As my wife was pregnant, and I watched my little Christy getting bigger and bigger inside of my wife, I said, the day's coming. I'm going to be a daddy. And I got to face this. And I'm not ready. I wasn't ready to be a husband, and I wasn't ready to be a daddy, but I had to equip myself. And that is when, 28 years ago, I started getting dead serious about something. And I'm 55, going to be 56 now. So how much time did I waste? When I was 13 years old, I was at a camp just like this. And God, at that point, it was a point of reference in my soul. It changed my life. Did I fail after that? I just told you I failed after that. I was 13 when I was at that camp. What did I go through from 13 to whenever? A bunch of failure, a bunch of trial and error. It didn't work. Until I started getting deeper and deeper into the truth of God's Word, did things begin to change. Not just knowing the Word of God, gnosis, N-O-S-I-S, but epignosis, taking that Word in by faith and believing it, and then believing it enough that I can apply it to my life. That's the key. If you follow Jesus Christ, there's going to be trouble. If you think you're going to live your life making peace all around you, I had some lady tell me one time, I don't want trouble, I'm just a peacemaker. Well, my answer to that is there is no peace on this earth. If you're looking for peace on this earth, you're looking in the wrong place. There's peace in your heart because of Jesus Christ. You know what part of your salvation is? Peace in your heart. Resting in Christ Jesus while you're on this planet. You're going to live until you die. And if you don't follow Jesus Christ as a Christian, you're going to suffer until you die. That's a promise. If you didn't hear anything else I said, I'll say it again. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you don't follow Jesus Christ, you're going to suffer till you die. You're going to have a bad marriage. The girl of your dreams, you might have to try two or three of them until you find her. Only by God's grace will you have anything in this life. That's because He loves you unconditionally. And He's watching your back all the time. He's your Savior. And He is double tapping on you all the time in your defense and in your offense. You understand? Remember this illustration about Mount Rushmore. The next time when you're just about ready to go to sleep in the middle of the night, you're tired, your thoughts are kind of exhausted and you really can't accumulate too much thought, and then once Satan brings in this thought about evolution, and Perry said it wasn't true. Well, God, I can't quite figure it out yet. Help me. He will. You want me to tell you who God is? I'm going to tell you who God is in a little story called The Prodigal Son. Remember the story Jesus told the prodigal son? Does anybody remember that? Look it up in the Bible. Do some homework. When that prodigal son ran away and he spent his father's inheritance that was his and he took it and he wasted it, the father was waiting for him to come back. You know how I know? Because the Bible says when the prodigal came over the hill, he ran to the prodigal. Now, here's a point I want to make with you. When you need God at the deepest, darkest hour, when you have done got yourself into the deepest sin crack you can get into, you call God. If you call Him with a sincere heart, I promise you, I can tell you a story that will blow you away, and I'm not going to take the time. I can promise you this, if you call God with a sincere heart, like you mean business, He's going to run to you. Always remember that, because you're His child. And if you're not a child of God, all you have to do right now, think this thought. Heavenly Father, I know You sent Your Son. I believe in this cross on Calvary, that Your Son died on this cross. I believe He died for me. I believe that He took my sins on Him and that He arose from the grave. That's it. He was a perfect sacrifice. Just believe it. Is that too simple? That's how simple God in heaven came down to earth, became a man, and made it for you to go to heaven. That's how simple it gets.